There you go. Bill Flores joins us this morning from D.C. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Scott. Great to be on with you and Kat and Bill during this Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you. So, okay, it's done. And so now, as we move forward, this is the fiscal cliff is something that you voted against. And I know that people, if they didn't know that, you did vote against it. And give us your reasoning for that.
Well, let me say at the outset, Scott, this bill had several positive characteristics. It also had some problems that I had heartburn with. In addition to that, we put the bill on our website and also on our social media, and we asked our constituents to vote. We said, here, you really own this voting card. Tell us what you think. We had several hundred responses, and 70% said vote no.
Wow, 70%.
70%, and we did a very unbiased layout of what's in the bill. But at the end of the day, what ultimately caused me to vote against it, including our constituent feedback, is the fact that it did not address spending at all. I mean, the spending reductions in this thing are just, you know, they're too small to even be called a rounding error. The other thing is there are a lot of stimulus extensions in here, which those things failed in 2009, and I don't see any need to repeat those. And it raises tax rates on job creators. That's a problem for me. And the sequester fix is too short. So those are the big problems that I had with it.
You know, unemployment, and again, Texas is a much more vibrant economy than a lot of states. But again, the unemployment benefits extended another 52 weeks. And some of these people, I mean, you could tell us how long some of them have been on the unemployment dole. And that's bothersome to a lot of Americans.
Well, it's bothersome to me. That was one of the reasons I voted against it, too. And that extension cost $30 billion. And it's the eighth extension of this so-called temporary extension of unemployment benefits that was first passed in 2008. And we need to be focused on we'll put paychecks in those folks' hands instead of unemployment checks.
I ask you to, Bill Flores joining us from D.C., I want to ask you to, if you will, give us at least from the up-close viewpoint, the upper chamber's thinking, because the first response to a lot of people was, well, why couldn't we have done this back in November? Why did we get to this brinksmanship?
Well, it's a great question. First of all, let me say this. Here's the history of H.R. 8, which is what we passed last night. H.R. 8 was introduced in the House in July, and we passed it in August. And it was basically an extension of all current tax rates for all taxpayers for a year. We also passed a follow-up bill the next day, in August, that was going to implement pro-growth tax reform sometime during the course of 2013. So we took care of this. We took this part of the tax part of the cliff, the fiscal cliff, off the table. And then it went to the Senate. And it just, you know, Harry Reid sat on it. And then what they did is on the 31st, or actually it was early morning on the 1st, is they did an amendment in the nature of a substitution. They stripped out all of our language and then stuck in the language that we voted on yesterday. The Senate didn't get this bill posted on their website until 1:36 in the morning yesterday, and they voted on it at 1:45. Several senators complained they didn't even have time to get it fully printed out before they had to vote. So to me, that's not indicative of a deliberative government, the deliberative body, as the Senate likes to call itself. And some of these folks don't know what's in that bill.
Yeah, it reminds me, Nancy Pelosi will have to pass the bill to see what's in it, huh?
Well, we'll find out what's in it. I mean, we did. Unfortunately, we had time from when it passed at 1:45 until we voted yesterday to get our arms around what's in the bill.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. Well, yeah, Bill, part of what's in it, $430 million for Hollywood, $331 million for the railroads, $222 million for Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands for their rum industry, $70 million for NASCAR, $59 million for algae growers, $4 million for electric motorcycle makers. All that's in there.
Well, and worse than that, you've got $16 billion for these failed green energy programs that grew out of the stimulus program back in 2009. I mean, it is a pork-laden mess. Now, the good thing is there are some things about it that are good. It permanently fixes AMT. They'll keep millions of American families from being affected by the AMT.
That's the alternative minimum tax, so people understand.
Yes, sir.
Right.
It is, includes a one-year extension of the doc fix, which is a good thing, which we need to find a permanent fix for someday. And it permanently fixes the estate tax issues that a lot of small businesses and farmers have been worried about. Now the rates are too high, but still it's directionally it's moving the right way. I would have liked to have seen a lot more But, you know, at least we've got those off the table. And we can come back and continue to work on the rest.
All right. Now, you delayed sequester for 2 months. I mean, I guess you had come back, I know, from the Far East, and you had said that the military didn't even have any marching orders as to what to do there. What is the future of Defense Department cutbacks, for instance, in your view?
Well, again, look, this is one of the ultimate kick in the cans down the road because, first of all, it does appear to me the sequester is going to take effect. So this 2 months does at least give the military a chance to do some planning and to not just ignore it. But I do feel like our military is going to be hurt by the sequester, and that's the reason in July of last year we passed a sequester reconciliation bill to undo the sequester for a year and replace those cuts with cuts in other programs that are, you know, like those goofy programs that you just talked about.
How'd the Texas delegation split up on this thing?
Well, there are 23 of us on the GOP side. I didn't look at the Democratic votes, but on the GOP side, there are 23 of us. Ron Paul has been gone this week. So the 22 that voted, there were 4 yeas and 18 nays.
Okay. Now, there seemed to be at least some discussion of the fact that Eric Cantor, the number two guy in the Republican House, was against this. And, of course, Boehner for it. So does that mean we're seeing some sort of a split in the leadership of the Republican Party?
Only in the minds of the media.
Okay.
the mainstream media, well, actually, let me put it this way. The Washington media that hangs every, you know, on every, you know, wink and nod and sigh up here seems to think there might be something going on, but there's not. I mean, there's clearly a difference in the way each of these gentlemen looked at this bill. Look, I could have found a way to vote for it, but it just, and so I can understand why Boehner voted for it and Cantor and McCarthy voted against it. But I don't think it means anything more deeply than just their personal beliefs.
Got it. Now, I guess you're not going to be able to go down and watch the Aggies play Oklahoma.
No, sir, but Gina's coming up here today for our swearing-in tomorrow, and then tomorrow evening the DCA&M Club, which is a huge Aggie club here in town, is going to have a viewing party at a local hotel, so we'll go over and watch it there.
Well, and speaking of new, you've got some new office digs, huh? That's kind of nice.
Yeah, you need to come up and see it. Before, as many people have been in the office, would say that our legislative team was sitting on top of each other, and our interns set in something called, that they refer to affectionately as a bat cave. So anyway, my office is the same size as it was, but the legislative team has a lot better digs than what they had before.
All right, well, we look forward to doing that. Bill Forrest joins us on Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time, and congratulations again on your swearing in coming up tomorrow.
Well, thank you. Let's beat the hell out of you on Friday, and also I'd ask our listeners to pray for our country and our military women during these difficult times.